Praise the Lord, saints. Sorry for the delay. Having some technical difficulties, but boo devil anyhow. And just plan on service being a little shorter today regardless. So Lord willing, we'll still get you out around the normal time, even with the 25-minute delay here. But God bless you as we worship the Lord together. Oh, as I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. He leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. Oh, this would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do I can, for I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Lord, I need thee every hour while I'm through this pilgrim land. Hold my hand. Oh, when I wander through the valley dim toward the setting of the sun, just lead me safely to that land of rest if I a crown of life have won. Oh, I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach that golden strand. Oh, there's no other friend, Lord, on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Lord, I need thee every hour. Oh, while I'm through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy saving power. Oh, hear my feeble plea. Oh, Lord, look down on me. And when I kneel in prayer, Lord, I know I'll meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Lord, I need thee every hour. Oh, while I'm through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy saving power. Oh, hear my feeble plea. Oh, Lord, Lord, look down on me. Amen. Aren't you thankful this morning that he's holding to your hand through whatever you're facing? Oh, he lets me walk down roads of disappointment. He watches and he knows what's best for me. Completely, that it will fit his purpose. joy is knowing that he can trust in me. Oh, that's just his way of telling me he loves me. Oh, it's love beyond all human understanding. And I won't question trials that bring me to my knees. That's just his way of telling me he loves. Aren't you thankful that he loves us tonight, or this morning rather? Amen. Certainly good to be in the service of the Lord this morning. Even though we're not all gathered together in the service, we're still in his service, trying to do what we can for the Lord. And certainly appreciate each and every one of you and the prayers that you've been praying, not only for us, but those that are sick in body. And wanted to announce again, Lord willing, there won't be any service here at Church of the Open Door this Wednesday, the 16th. We will be having a Sunday morning and Sunday evening service on Sunday the 20th, but that will be internet only as well. And no evening service tonight. So that's no evening service tonight here in any form. And then Wednesday night, no service at all. Next Sunday morning and Sunday evening will be streaming services at the normal times, but it'll be internet only, not in person. Then the following Wednesday, the 23rd, will also be canceled. And then Lord willing, Sunday the 27th, we'll go back to in-person services. Depending on how everyone's doing at that time, we'll keep you posted if that changes. But that's 2 weeks out even from today. So even those who have just recently got the virus should be 14 days out from that period. So we're planning on just trying to quarantine everybody as best as we can until then. And then Lord willing, be back together in service. So looking forward to that time. And Sister Denise Bryant, my sister-in-law, wanted to testify that her mother, Sister Mariola Sisk, her numbers are still getting better, and she wanted to thank the church for praying. So we're certainly glad to hear that. And got several prayer requests here we want to remember and take before the Lord this morning. Sister Crystal Wright sprained her ankle, so we want to remember her in prayer for a complete recovery from that. And then quite a few families are still recovering from COVID and other sicknesses, and just ask that you'd remember them in prayer. Most of the people are on the recovery side of it, so we thank the Lord for that, but want to just continue to remember them for a complete recovery. And then we have several that have been hospitalized for it that we especially want to keep in prayer. Sister Stephanie Duvall, she's in the hospital with COVID and pneumonia, and she's doing better than she was. She hasn't had a fever in about a day and a half, and she's breathing better, but still has to be on some oxygen. So want to continue to lift her up in prayer. And Brother Buckles, he's in the hospital with COVID, and he was running about 102 degree fever, but was able to breathe okay and everything like that, but was just very fatigued from it. So we want to remember him in prayer for a complete recovery and just physical restoration. And I know at his age it can be dangerous, so we want to just continue to lift him up before the Lord. They're planning on keeping him in the hospital a few more days just to monitor him, but it sounds like that he is doing even better than he was when they got him to the hospital. So we praise the Lord for that. And a very, very urgent prayer request that we want to take before the Lord, Brother Yarborough. He's been hospitalized. He has COVID, but also with quite a few other complications. And got a text in the middle of the night last night, and didn't hear the text, and then got a phone call from Brother Bill Layton. And Brother Yarborough had actually coded twice in the hospital. They were able to shock him and bring him back, and he's on a ventilator now, and he's very critical. We definitely need to pray for our brother and just pray that the Lord will move in a special way for him this morning. The doctors claim that his liver is failing and that his kidneys are not producing urine, so it's a very serious condition. But we know that God is more than able to bring our brother through that. I prayed for him last night in the middle of the night there when I got the request with all the sincerity that I know how, that God would spare his life, and just pleaded the blood of Jesus Christ for him. And I pray that you would do the same with me this morning and just join together for all of these prayer requests, but for our brother Bill Yarborough especially, that God will just move on the scene in a mighty way for him. And those of you out there that have an unspoken prayer request on your hand, I know I can't see you physically, but the Lord Jesus can still see the hands. So let's just lift up our hands for whatever request is on your heart this morning, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you see these prayer requests that I hold in my hand, Father, many of them very needy prayer requests, people sick in body and facing troubles, Lord, sprained ankles and COVID and all kinds of different sicknesses and life-threatening illnesses. And Father, I just pray that you'd go to each one this morning, Lord. May your Holy Spirit be present there, wherever they're at, in their home, in a hospital room, wherever they would be this morning. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would go to them, touch their bodies, and begin to restore their strength. Lord, especially for our brother Yarborough, Father, I pray that you'd move on the scene in that hospital room this morning. Lord, may the Holy Spirit that we feel present here this morning go to him and just begin to restore his health. Lord, we have confidence and faith, believing, Lord, that you already paid the price for his healing. And Lord, to know that Satan cannot take him until you're through with him, Father. And we believe that he still has something, Lord, to do here on earth, Lord. He's an encourager and he's a blessing. And I just pray that you restore him back to full health. Lord, may a testimony come forth from it. Lord, we believe that even although the gates of hell may come against this little bride, Father, that you're more than able to bring her through any trial or tribulation or anything that we might face, Father. So we send a slingshot of faith after our brother this morning. Just believe and agree together for our brother's healing. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that you're more than able to restore him back to us. And we ask it in your name, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. You love the Lord this morning. Amen. Just keep our brother in your heart today as we go through the day, and just continue to lift him up before the Lord in prayer. I know the Lord can make a way where there is no way. Amen. Let's sing this together. I'm thankful we have this kind of confidence that our Lord knows all about it. He counts the stars one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shores. Sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything. Of all creatures, great and small. He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, oh, and he knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day, but I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. Tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. Don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. Oh, and he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cried. Oh, and he knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day, but I know I'll be just fine. Oh, 'cause he knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. Oh, and he knows my my every thought. Amen. You thankful for that this morning? Amen. Let's sing this together before we go into the rest of the service. Amen. Certainly appreciate all that the Lord does for us. Amen. Appreciate his presence. Don't know what people do without him during times like this, but we're certainly thankful for a God that hears, not only hears, but answers prayer. Amen. Let's sing about him a little bit this morning. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God I know he is. All of heaven and earth adore him. His people bow. Stand and worship him this morning. Mighty than any situation you're facing this morning. We believe that. Amen. By his grace. God bless you. Turn with me, if you would, to St. Matthew's Gospel, the 7th chapter and the 13th verse. St. Matthew 7 and verse 13. Amen. Certainly appreciate the presence of the Lord that we feel here this morning. Pray that you feel him in the same way there wherever you are, and that he'll just continue to lead us and guide us as individuals, as families, as a church. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Let's just read this together this morning. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Let's just bow our heads together this morning. Lord Jesus, Father, as we come before your throne, we just commit this service into your hands, Lord. We know that there are many needs represented. Many of them have been mentioned, Lord, already this morning, and others, Lord, maybe we don't even know about, maybe we aren't aware of, but Father, you're aware. And Lord, we just commit this service into your hands. Lord, I pray that you'd use me, Lord, even though just Brother Aaron and myself here this morning for the service, I pray, Lord, that you would just enter in a special way, and Lord, anoint here so that those sitting at home or traveling or laying in a hospital bed, wherever they're at, Father, that they could, Lord, be encouraged this morning by whatever you would speak. And we just commit it to you, ask that you'd have preeminence in a way that only you can. Give us strength for the journey. Be with Brother Trevor, Lord, and some of his family as they travel to Ohio, Lord, for the service there at Brother Andrew Kressel's this morning. Just pray that you'd anoint him in a mighty way and use him there as a vessel to minister whatever that group there would have need of. We give you the glory and praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated this morning. I want to look at a thought this morning with the help of the Lord of the road less traveled. The road less traveled. And as we read this scripture this morning, I'm going to read over it again. St. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus speaking, he tells them to enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. This word straight here in the Greek, it means narrow. And the word that he uses there for narrow in the Greek actually means to press as grapes, to press hard upon, a compressed way, narrow, straightened, contracted, metaphorically to trouble or afflict or to distress. So we recognize that this road that he's describing, there's going to be pressures as those of when a grape would be pressed to get the wine out of it and to be compacted and pressed upon. So we recognize that the road is not going to be easy, but he tells us that this road that leads to destruction, it's very broad and it's easy for people to find. Many there be which go in thereat, but the way that leads to life, It's narrow and it's hard, it's difficult. There's a lot of pressures. This word again that he uses for narrow here, as we looked at it, for troubled or afflicted, distressed, or pressed upon his grapes. Paul uses this same word, this same Greek word in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, when he says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed." I believe that we can witness that this morning, that feels like the condition of our church, that it just seems like there's trouble on every side, sickness and pressures and distress and perplexity, but yet we don't have to be in despair. We can be persecuted, but yet we recognize we're not forsaken, we're not cast down, we won't be destroyed, because we have one with us that's greater than the trouble, that's greater than the distress, that's greater than the perplexity. So when most would despair, yet there's something about it in the bride of Jesus Christ, there's no disparity in her, because she recognizes who she is, that, and she recognizes who her mate is. And I was telling some of the brothers that yesterday, I guess it was, that I feel like we've been displaying the qualities of this quote in a positive way. Brother Bram says in the Church Age book, he said, "The church that is not suffering and is not being tried hasn't got it. It isn't of God." So we can recognize recognize pretty easily we must be of God this morning, because we recognize there's suffering and there's trials, there's pressures, there's distress, there's perplexity, there's persecution, but yet we're not cast down. We're afflicted, but we're not cast away. We're not given up, because we're on the road less traveled this morning by the grace of God. Now, it's easy to go along the path that everybody else goes with. It's easy to go with the flow, whether you're in a school environment, whether you're in a church environment, whatever environment it is, family environment, anything that you would look into, politics or any aspect of life, on a job or wherever it would be, it's easy to go along with the flow. That's the road that's been traveled, and that path has been blazed, and everybody's comfortable with it, and the way that the popularity goes, and the way that the group, the masses are going, that's an easy way to follow. But for somebody to stand up and go against the flow and take the road less traveled, that's the more difficult path. But yet, Brother Branham, you remember when he was there in Clifton's cafeteria, and he'd been ministering there, or there at a hotel banquet room, I believe it was, and he had been ministering there in Arizona, and a man comes down, or California rather, I'll get it right here in a minute, I believe he was in California, and a man that was a relative there of an actress, he comes down by the name of Danny Henry, and at the end of the service, he comes down and he tells Brother Branham that could have been another book of Revelation there, and he begins to speak in tongues, and the French interpreter interprets it, and several others there that could speak French, Danny Henry not knowing French, but he said, because you've chosen the harder path, because you chose the narrow way, that there would be a great portion of heaven allotted to him and awaiting for him in the love divine. So we recognize that his reward was that he didn't just go along with the flow. He didn't just go along with the popular way, but he took a stand for what was right. Now, taking a stand for what is right, whether you're in a school scenario or a church scenario or a family scenario, at a job or whatever it be, many times it's difficult to take a stand for what's right, because maybe popularity, maybe popular opinion or whatever it would be, the sway of the people and the flow of the people and everything that's just going a certain direction, maybe something political happened at your job or whatever it would be, but you recognize that's wrong. There's something morally that's not right about it. For you to take a stand, you'll be an odd duck. You'll stand out like a sore thumb, but the road less traveled is the one that takes us all the way to glory. The path that leads to destruction is broad. There's multiplied millions that are going that direction, and it seems like with more veracity and more speed than has ever been, they're going down that path. They don't care about morality. They don't care about any type of morals or Christian living or what the Word of God says. It's dog eat dog, and whatever's popular, they begin to flow along with it. Oh, and if you don't, you'll be canceled in this culture. You'll get canceled out, and you'll get ridiculed, and you'll get made fun of on social media or whatever it be. And so people become less and less hesitant to stand up for what's right, and they tend to instead just to go along with the flow of popularity of, well, we don't want to stir up things, and we don't want to cause any trouble. But my, it's easy. Any little old tadpole can go downstream and float along with the flow, but it takes a strong salmon or a trout to be able to go against the stream toward their intended destination, and to fight constantly when everything else is going the other direction. All the scum and all the muck and all the little weak fishes and everything else is just flowing down this direction. And sometimes the devil comes and tells you, it'd be easier just to stop fighting it. It'd be easier just to stop swimming and fighting against the current and just go along with the flow. But you'll get quickly dragged that way, and then it'll take you a long time to make that progress back. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there's many that'll follow that, but few will go the way that leads to life. So a man by the name of Robert Frost, a famous poet, he wrote a poem years ago called The Road Not Taken. And he says in the poem there at the end of it, he says, two roads diverged in a wood, and I I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Amen. Amen. I don't normally amen poems, but I can say amen to that this morning. I took the road less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Now, we don't do that just because we want to be different than everybody else. Oh, our human nature, we want to fit in. We want to be a part of a group or a society or a type of people at our job or our school or whatever it be. It's hard on us. It's hard for young people, some of these young sisters and things going into schools and with their long skirts and their long hair, and they get a little bit ostracized and made fun of because they stand out like a sore thumb in a world where morality has just been thrown out the window. But yet, to take that road less traveled, it'll make all the difference. To take a stand for your morals when everybody else is just letting down and dog eat dog out here, it'll make a difference. To stand up on a job and do things the right way, even if it's maybe financially not in your favor, it'll make all the difference at the end. Somebody, when they find somebody that's honest that they can work with, I've told my dad many times, you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we just look for the cheapest deal wherever it be, but I'd rather go to somebody that, even if they would charge me a little bit more, somebody that's honest with me and that's not going to tell me that I need 18 extra things that I don't need, even if they'll sell them to me cheap. I'd rather somebody honest that maybe charge me a little bit more, that I can have confidence in their character, that they're going to sell me the right thing that I actually need and not 20 other things. Oh, to take the road less traveled, it'll make all the difference. I want to say in your spiritual life, in your family life, in your social life, it'll make all the difference to take a stand for something that's right when nobody else will stand for it. Maybe it'll get you ridiculed at your job. Maybe it'll get you made fun of. Maybe it'll get you dirty looks at your next family reunion. But to take that road less traveled and stand for something that's right, it'll make all the difference in the world. Amen. It wasn't popular when we started having services in our home because it wasn't the flow of the normalcy of the area. It wasn't the flow of popularity. It wasn't something that was popular. It was something that wasn't understood. It was something that was criticized, and it's something that still gets criticized. But we see that God was in it. I'm so glad. I'm so thankful that God gave me the courage to take the road less traveled, because it's made all the difference. Amen. It's made the difference in a lot of families. Not because I'm anything, but because God placed a burden on my heart, even when I didn't recognize the full capacity of the need in the area. Even when I didn't recognize the need and the potential for the different families that would come and have needs that could be ministered to. I didn't know all of that at the time. I couldn't see far enough down the road that I was taking, but I knew that I was taking a road that hadn't been traveled very often. It wasn't a very popular road, but yet God led me to do it. I'm so glad that I did it, because it's made all the difference. Maybe some of you, the choices that you've made in your life, the choice that you made for your spouse, if it was really God leading you, whether it was popular or not, whether your family understood or not at the time, if you followed God in that choosing, even if it wasn't the way that everybody thought you would go, oh, I'm so thankful if you did it and it was God leading you, because I'm sure it's made all the difference in the world from anybody else that you could have been connected to as a family. If you get the one that God led you to, it'll make all the difference in the world. If you get the wrong one, and Brother Bam said it'd be hell here on earth for you, that it'd be the worst decision that you can make. But it's one of the most important decisions. Young person, if you're praying this morning who that you should marry, don't just fall into some rut of, well, this is who everybody expects me to marry, or this person would fit well with my family dynamic. You seek God for who you're supposed to marry. And if God lays somebody on your heart and you seem like, oh my, she's the one. She sees the word the way that I do, and she would raise my children the way that I would do. But somebody else said, well, she's from a family that they're a little different than we are. They don't act the way that we do, or they're a little peculiar, whatever it is. Don't pay any attention to that. You let the Holy Spirit lead you down the path that you should go. Amen. Brother Bannon says in The Greatest Gift in the Bible, 1957, you know, Brother Arnie, he's always finding these little nuggets, just these little one-sentence nuggets that Brother Branham says in the message that stands out. He'll text me every once in a while and encourage me with one of those. And he just has a gift for pulling those out of the message. Some little statements that I think sometimes, my, I never caught that one like that. But I ran across this one the other day. So this was for you, Brother Arnie. I thought you'd appreciate this. The greatest gift in the Bible, 1957. He says, don't go with the crowd, go with Christ. Amen. Don't go with the crowd. Go with Christ. It would have been easy back there in the disciples' day to go along with the crowd of the Pharisees or the Sadducees. That was a popular choice. There were multiplied thousands that were going those paths, but they picked a path less traveled. When Jesus said, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men, there wasn't multitudes doing that. There was a little handful of 12 men that became his disciples, and it was a path that hadn't been traveled before, but there was something in their heart that they recognized. This is greater than some man-made Pharisee doctrine. This is greater than some man-made Sadducee way of doing it. And so they decided, we're not going to go with the crowd, but we'll go with Christ. Oh, I pray this morning that that would be the desire of every believer, not to go with the crowd, but to go with Christ, not to go with popularity, not to go and float along the easy path, but to go with Christ, regardless of what it costs you. Go with Christ. It'll make all the difference. Amen. St. Luke chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus tells them, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now we notice it's not always in the crowds and the multitudes, but he says, fear not, little flock. Oh my, it's easy when everybody's pulling in the same direction and everybody's getting along and everything's going just right and nobody with enough backbone to stand up for what's right and to call sin, sin, and to call what's right, right. And it's easy just to go with the flow, just to go with the crowd, but we're not interested in going to the crowd this morning. We want to go with Jesus. We want to go with Christ. And he tells us to fear not, little flock. Now, we recognize it'll be a universal bride, that this is not just about Church of the Open Door, or not just about Nathan Bryan, or whoever it would be, but there would be a little flock that would be a part of a universal rapture, but that it wouldn't be an astounding number. Even in our message ranks, it won't be everybody that takes a rapture, but there will be a group that has been true to the Word of God. There's been a group that will stay, whether it's popular or not, they will stay on the path less traveled because that's the one that leads right to glory. Redemption by Power, 1954, he says, you're always pointing how wicked the world's getting, but you fail to see how powerful the church is getting at the same time. She's rising up, standing on the field. Oh, she's a little flock, but Brother God is with her. Amen. Oh, she's a little flock, he says, but Brother God's with her, and she's going to triumph just as certain as Christ rose from the dead. Amen. He said, God's church shall never fail. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Shall they be against it, but they cannot prevail. The church is going to triumph through the blood of Jesus Christ to the victory march. Oh, he said, she's a little flock, but God's with her. I don't know about you, but you know, many times if we're not careful, we begin to look at the numerics of things. And Brother Ben tells us many times, he says that one with God is the majority. So even though Samson stood there, one against 1,000 Philistines, yet that one man, before it was all said and done, one with God became the majority. He was the last one standing. Didn't matter how many others had been standing there before, at the end of the day, it was just Samson standing there. Now, Shamgar stood there with an ox goad in his hand against 600 Philistines, and yet it seemed like he was greatly in the minority, but it was him and God, and so at the end of the day, he was standing there as the majority. So even though this little flock, even though she may be tossed about, even though she may be an outcast, even in religious ranks, even though it may seem like she's very unpopular, and oh, my wife, you always got to do something to be different. Well, it's not that we're we're trying to do something to be different. It's that we're trying with our best to stay with the Word of God the way that it's been given. That, I hate to tell you, is the road less traveled. Many will compromise and go off this way, and many will compromise and go off that way, but there's a narrow path that leads to life, and it's right in line with the Word. And the bride will keep marching that. Remember Brother Branham in the vision there of the bride, he saw that she would begin to get out of step, but there was a voice there, his own voice crying out, saying, get back in line. So I pray that the Holy Spirit will cry again through human lips this morning to you and say, get back in line. Get back on the right path. Don't stray to the left. Don't get caught up in worldlyism out here. Don't get caught up in false doctrine over there. Don't get caught up in fanaticism and emotionalism. And don't get caught up in cold starchiness over here either. But there's a path that lies right down the middle of the road. And Brother Branham said, that's the path that we walk, calling from both sides. Oh, we forget that part many times. Many times, if we're not careful, we get so happy that we're on the right road that we just begin to look over to the left and to the right and say, well, they're just a bunch of old hypocrites over there. They're just nobody over there. If they was anything, they'd see it the way that we saw it. But no, if you're on the right road, you should call from both sides. Call from the ditches. And remember, even in the Bible there, when those that had been invited that looked prestigious and looked the right way and acted the right part and everything, but they refused to come to the invitation, then Jesus told them to go out into the highways and into the byways and compel those who didn't look like they were worthy to come. Oh, I think it's time that we go back out into the highways and byways and do some compelling and stop just getting so caught up that, well, we're on the right road. That's wonderful. Amen. That's what we're preaching this morning. We should be on the right road. But while you're on that road, why don't you call to somebody that's fallen over in the ditch this way or over in the ditch that way and tell them, hey, there's still hope for you this morning. There's still hope for you. Come and walk this road. It's a wonderful road. Oh, it's not a popular road, but to walk with Jesus is the happiest life that you could ever live. Amen. Oh my. Whether you're on the mountaintop or whether you're in the valley, to know that he's walking with you, doesn't matter how many others are with you. Brother Man, we just read it, said, don't go with the crowd, go with Christ. Again, unbelief does not hinder God. 1962, he said, there's going to be 10 unbelievers to one believer. More than that, maybe 1,000 to one, because the church is in the minority. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's goodwill to give you the kingdom. So don't look for a great big something. The devil's always after something big, but God makes himself small. The devil's always after something big, but God makes himself small. I wonder if we as believers can do the same thing, not get puffed up and not get starchy and not think that we're somebody because we feel like we're on the right road, but to get so small and so humble that God could speak through us to encourage somebody else. It's not about numbers. It's not about size. It's not about the biggest this and the biggest that and all the devil's many times in that, but it's about that humble heart before God. Remember, ever since the storefront, Brother Layton and I have kept being compelled to tell you over and over and over again that there's those three things that if we're going to succeed as a church that we have to stay with. I said it back there years ago at the storefront and kept reminding you, and then Brother Layton keeps reminding you from time to time ever since, and I'm going to remind you again this morning. There's three things that we have to do. We have to stay with the Word. Well, you can't compromise with the Word and get anywhere with God. Because he is the Word. That's a part of him. That's an attribute of him. So if you're going to stay on the right path as a church, as a family, as an individual, stay with the Word. Don't compromise with it for anybody. Don't try to water it down just because it doesn't rub you the right way of something that you want to participate in. But stay with the Word and then stay humble. Oh, Church of the Open Door, stay humble. Amen. Just because God's blessed us with a few more numerically than he did a few years ago when we started off with humble beginnings in our home and then we went to a little one-room schoolhouse and was tossed about here and there from building to building. Now God's blessed us with a building of our own. He's packed out these pews almost every Sunday morning when we can have church when we're not facing quarantines from COVID and different things. God's blessed us with a full church. But don't let that go to your head and think we're somebody. No, we're nobody without Jesus. Amen. I'm not interested in going with the crowd. I'm interested in going with Christ. So I pray that regardless of the size of the crowd, whether we have to build three churches or a church three times this size, or whether we go back to being able to fit in a living room, I pray that the same gospel will always be preached here in truth and humility, because that's what this is all about. We're presenting the truth to people, not so that we can say, look how smart we are, look what we know, but because we're trying to help somebody. Now, when you present the truth with humility, you can help somebody. But when you try to present the truth as a stuffed shirt or some arrogant something, nobody wants to listen to that. So stay with the word, stay humble, and stay in love with everybody. Amen. That love, that's where so many miss it. Stay in love. Brother Bam said it was going to take perfect love to get there. Paul said, speaking the truth in love. It's one thing to speak the truth. It's another thing to speak the truth in love. Whether you're dealing with somebody at your job or in your family, whether you're dealing with one of your own children, you can approach that child in a way of love to where even if you're disagreeing with that person or child or church member or whatever it is, you might bitterly disagree with what they're doing or with their decision on something or with their lifestyle or whatever it be. And you have every right to approach them with truth. But if you don't do it truly out of love, not out of arrogancy, not out of hatred, not out of thinking that you're better than them, but if you can approach them with genuine love, they'll recognize it. Even if they can't bring themselves to agree with you right then or not, they'll recognize that love, because you can't fake that. You can't fake love to somebody. You can't go around and say, oh, I love you, brother, and then turn around and they know you'd stab them in the back if you had a chance to. No, I've seen that type of supposed love. That's a phony love. That's a false love. That's a political love that shake your hand with one hand and stab you in the back with the other. But real, genuine, the love of God, it compels us. Sometimes it makes us have tough decisions that we in our humanity, we would rather just not have. We would rather just let that person go and do whatever it is, but the love of Christ in us compels us. Go to that person, take them the truth, show them what's right, stand up for what's right, even if they don't understand, even if they criticize you, but do it in love and do it in humility, not as some big shot that's going to straighten everybody out. We've seen so much of that false, phony, hypocritical stuff around the message. People want to come into a church and straighten everybody out and straighten the pastor out, and usually they're the biggest pervert that's ever hit the face of that area anyhow, but they think they're going to straighten everybody else out. All perverted, sometimes physically perverted, but usually it's spiritually perverted. We've got, there's some physical perverts that have slipped into the message, and we know how to deal with those, but there's a lot more that are spiritually perverted. Spiritual perverts. Spiritually perverting the things of God to their own devices and their own agendas. And they try to come in and straighten everybody else out. Oh, we need men and women of God with enough backbone to stand up and take the road less traveled and say, look, we're not going to put up with your nonsense and your spiritual perversion, but we're going to keep marching on with the truth. St. Matthew 23, verse 13, Jesus said, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Oh, this spirit is still prevalent in the land. That there's a group of people that they would rather shut up the kingdom of heaven against men than allow them to go into it. I've never seen such an age where there's so many people, and it's not just one group or one location, it's all over the world, that people are so caught up in their little group and their little idea and their little pet doctrine that if you don't see it just the way that they do, they're more interested in trying to prove that you're non-bride, or prove that you're not going to make it, or prove that you're some kind of serpent seed or deceived person. Their focus and their mentality and their desire is more focused on that, on keeping people out of the kingdom if they're not in their little group, than it is opening their arms out and saying, hey, we're all brothers. Hey, we're all serving the same Lord Jesus. Let's keep pressing towards the mark. Let's not just cast one another aside and give up on one another and draw each other out, but let's draw the circle bigger. They're not interested in doing that. They're interested interested? What a sad thing when we've been called to go into the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That was the great commission of Jesus Christ, to go not just into your favorite church, not just around your favorite group, but go out there in the world like Jesus did. He got down in the dirt, Brother Branham said, with the drunks and the prostitutes, and he stooped down and humbled himself to get out there and rub shoulders with the world. Why? Because he was seeking and searching for those that were redeemable. And he didn't just say, well, oh, you're a Pharisee, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Oh, a Sadducee, don't bother coming in my prayer line. Oh my, I was just listening the other day to a tape. Brother Branham was talking about different people that had been prayed for and had been healed and blessed and things. He was talking about the little Aunt Jemima there in Memphis, Tennessee, when God told him to keep walking, to keep walking. And he said when he got there, she was standing there leaning against the fence and she was laughing and said, morning, parson. He said, how'd you know I was a parson? She said, because God showed me that you was coming. Said the only thing, she said, where's that little briefcase that she was packing under your arm? He said, I left it at the hotel. And he began to come in and begin to talk about how, he said, she didn't have many things, but she had one thing that a lot of houses in Jeffersonville and New Albany and around the world was lacking. She had the presence of God welcome in that home. And he said, you could tell when she began to pray that she had talked to him before. He said, have you heard my name? My name is Branham. I pray for the sick. She said, no, I've never heard of you. And he said, do you want me to pray for your son? She wasn't so much just interested in his physical well-being, but she was interested about that soul. She didn't want to seem lost. And he said, I began to pray, and the Lord came on the scene there, and the man that had been laying there, her son, saying, oh, it's dark in here. He said, oh, it's beginning to get light, Mama. And Brother Branham said, I never asked her if she was Baptist or Methodist or Catholic or what she was. He said, it wasn't any of my business. Oh, my. God, help us to be more like, help us to be followers of the truth instead of followers of popularity and groups and directions that the masses go. I'm not interested in following the group. I'm interested in following Jesus. Oh, I'm not interested in following the crowd. I'm interested in following Jesus. But so many, if you're not part of whatever it is they are, that they're more interested in shutting you out than trying to help you. What a sad thing. It's the same Pharisee spirit that was back there in Jesus's day. Oh, many of them, they'll take their time trying to rant and rave about everybody else, and they'll spend hours criticizing everybody else and trying to straighten everybody else out and trying to belittle everybody else to promote their agenda. But in all of it, where is Christ? Where you go and you hear some of the things some of these guys have to say, and you never hear them lifting up Jesus Christ. You never hear them pulling people to an experience with him. It's all about, do you see it my way or not? Do you do it my way or not? Have you got it figured out the way I've got it figured out? Because if not, you're just out. Oh, they're still trying to shut up the kingdom of heaven from people getting in, but I'm trying to keep the door open as wide as I can for whosoever will, let him come. Amen. Lean not to thine own understanding, 1965. Brother Branham says, now notice the churches of today do the same thing. They have formed a great super race of understanding. In their denominational systems, they have such a super understanding, they don't want nobody else to fool with it, nobody to come unless they belong to that group. Oh, I get so sick of those kind of groups around the message. Oh my, sadly, people, there's churches around the message that are full of people of these type of groups. Oh, we can't fellowship with you unless you're part of our group. We couldn't have you come preach unless you're part of our group or our circle. And it literally becomes therefore and no more. And you see them revival after revival. They've got confidence in two or three men that they can have come by. And other than that, oh, nobody sees it like them. And nobody, I'm not interested in belonging to your little group. I'm not interested in being a part of your little man-made societies, of your man-made doctrines. It's full of dead men's bones and hypocrisy, and my whited walls on the outside, but inwardly full of dead men's bones. Jesus said, you bunch of hypocrites. Oh, I belong to this, and I'm of that, and I have Moses to my prophet, and I have this, and I have that. He said, oh my, what was it? They were of their father, the devil. They were more interested in their group. They were more interested in their little spiritual society culture than they were in an actual relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when he came. They were more interested in their Pharisee prestige or their Sadducees prestige or their Herodian prestige or whatever it was. They were more interested in that than the lovely Lord Jesus when he came and walked their streets. And again, he's walking the streets in bride form and people reject him and turn him away because it doesn't come according to their little group's ideas of their spiritual pet doctrines and things. Shame on people. Spiritual blindness, spiritual immaturity, even to where people are afraid today to come out and admit when they get COVID because they're afraid somebody might label them non-bride. I told somebody the other day, I said, look, if somebody's going to label you non-bride because of that, then they're obviously so spiritually immature that they would have labeled you non-bride a long time before that because of where you go to church or whatever it be. Oh, it's time that we stand up and take the road less traveled. It's time that we stand for what's right and call truth and call what's false false. A lot of false doctrines going around out there. Amen. But you don't have to cow down to them just because the group is going a certain way or popularity or a direction of the masses. Jesus never went with the direction of the masses, but he stood for what was right. God give us the backbone. God give us men and women with the strength to stand up in the face of all the spiritual immaturity that's going around. People walking around wanting to suck on their little spiritual pacifiers. They can't get past that. Their one little pet thing of whatever it is, their little sugar-coated doctrine of whatever their man-made tradition and idea is. Oh, spit out your pacifier and eat some meat of the word and stand for the truth this morning. Way of a True Prophet, 1963. I like the way he titles these sermons. The Way of a True Prophet. We begin to say, we're the big group. We're the biggest Pentecostal group there is. We have more than the rest of them. He says, or you can't get to heaven unless you belong to our group. Anybody heard that? You can't get to heaven unless you belong to our group or something. He said, when you get that way, you've separated yourself from the word of the Lord, right? Now you can get mad and you can go and you can repeat my comments to somebody and you can try to twist them and put whatever label you want on them. Or you can get mad and shut off the internet connection this morning and say, bless God, I'll never go back or I'll never be around him or I'll never fellowship with him. But let me just read you again what the prophet of God for our age said. You can't get to heaven unless you belong to our group or something. When you get that way, you've separated yourself from the word of the Lord. And let me tell you this morning, before you begin to think, oh, he's talking about this and he's talking about that, it's not one group or one area. This is a worldwide thing. There's groups popping up in Trinidad and Africa and all over the place, and men rising up as spiritual dictators that they want to control everybody and tell everybody what to do, and they want people to carry them in on chairs and come and chant their names. Oh, you better never catch me finding somebody at church with the open door chanting any name but Jesus Christ and him crucified. He's the only one that we're here to get glory for. He's the only one we're here to point people to. But when you get that little idea of, oh, if you're not part of our group, you're out, he says you've separated yourself from the word of the Lord. He says, remember, the blanket is wide enough to stretch for you, for your brother. Amen. I know I can't hear you amen out there, but I hope somebody's amening out there. The blanket is wide enough to stretch farther than Church of the Open Door. The blanket is wider to stretch further than just Nathan Bryant's ministry. Remember, the blanket is wide enough to stretch for your brother. That's exactly right. Take him in. Don't push him away. Don't cast him aside. Don't kick him down further than he already is. Take him in. Amen. Fellowship with one another. Brother Bram said in one place there, he said, we ought to fellowship with everybody unless they're just so immorally wrong that we can't get around them. He said, then you have to draw the line. But he said, fellowship with everybody. That's the only way you're going to win your brother. Now, I know people, they hide quotes like that from their people because they only want them to fellowship with the ones that are of their approved group, their approved doctrine, their approved society, some big spiritual society. I'm not interested in being a part of a spiritual society. Most of the times when you hear Brother Branham talking about spiritual societies, it's some perverted filth out of the pits of hell. So I'm not interested in joining your spiritual group or your spiritual society. I'm a part of one group, and it's not Church of the Open Door. It's not the Nathan Bryant group or the this brother group or the that brother group. I'm following one man, and that man is Jesus Christ, and I'm a part of one group, and that's a little flock called the bride of Jesus Christ. That's the only group I'm interested in having fellowship with. That's the only group I'm interested in having my name on her membership. It's not a group of preachers. It's not a group of people. It's not a group of this doctrine or that doctrine. I'm not interested in any of your groups or any of your societies. I'm interested in having my name on one book, and that's the Lamb's Book of Life. So you can take me off your book, and you can take me off your list, and you can take me off of your a bride-approved spreadsheet. I could care less, because I'm not depending on some man-made tradition or some man-made doctrine or any man's opinion to get me in or to give me salvation or to give me the seal of the Holy Ghost. I'm not depending on any man or any group or any society. I'm depending on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He's the only one that's going to get us out of here, and He's gave me something that the world couldn't give me. He gave me something your little group couldn't give me. He gave me something no church could give me or no man-made following could give me. He gave me the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Brother Aaron, and nobody can take it away from me. Hallelujah. Well, I hope somebody's preaching at home with me. Brother Aaron's trying to help me over here, so I pray that you at home are getting blessed too by what the Spirit is saying this morning. The Spirit, oh, Brother Nathan, you're arrogant. You mean the Spirit saying that? Hey, I'm just saying you what the Spirit's already said. I'm trying to point you to quotes and scriptures of what the Spirit has spoken expressly through the ages, and He's not changed His mind in this age, but He's still speaking the same truth, whether people can receive it or not. The church age book, Brother Bam says, when the Spirit of God moves in the hearts of men, who is it that leaves the buildings and property? The little flock always loses out to the big organization. And where do the people then go? They worship in homes, old store buildings and basements, just as they did when they went to the catacombs. That's the road less traveled. That's the path that's not popular. Meeting in homes and old storefront buildings and basements and things like that, just as the original church did when they went into the catacombs. He said these people were poor in the world's goods, in this world's goods, certainly, but they were rich in the Spirit. Oh, I don't know about you. All of your riches, all of your money, all your financial stability, you can have all that. Just give me Jesus. I'm not interested in millions and groups and all that. I'm not interested in that. Just give me Jesus. I'd rather be rich in the Spirit than rich in the bank account. Oh my, it's better to be rich in the Spirit than to be rich in your backside where you keep your pocketbook back there. I'm not interested in that. I thank God that He's provided for us, but aside from providing for us, I'm not interested in being the richest person in the graveyard. I'm interested in being rich in the Spirit of God. Church age book again, he says, those who fight the humble of God and scoff and destroy, let them do it, and do it they will, and all in the name of God and religion, but they lie. They are not of God. They are of their father, the devil. They, by their deeds against any people, expose themselves for what they are. Notice this group that would be anti-word, they would be against people. They wouldn't be for people. They wouldn't be interested in helping people. But he said their deeds against any people expose themselves for what they are. That's the same spirit that the old Catholic mother whore had back in the beginning when she came with the Spanish Inquisition and different things. And anybody that didn't agree with her, the way that she saw things, she put them to physical death. Now, today, people are trying to say, if you don't do it our way, then you're spiritually dead. Well, I'm not interested in doing it anybody's way but the Word. I'm interested in going the way of the Word. So when people turn and they're against anything, when they're against people, not against a spirit, not against a doctrine, but against people. Listen, I do not agree with the Catholic doctrine. I cannot, because it's anti-Word. I don't agree with many of these denominations in their water baptisms and in their organizational ways of doing things and come put your name on our book and be a part of our society and our system and give us your W-2s and things so we can know how much money you make so we can tell you how much tithes to pay and all these things that they do out there. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in kissing some toe of a statue or worshiping and praying to some other man or whoever it would be or woman of some spiritual society of a dead paganism of spiritualism of praying to dead saints and things like that. I'm not interested in that. I cannot stand for that. I have to stand against it as far as the doctrine and the spirit of it, whether it's out there in the form of Catholicism or whatever denomination you name it, or whether that same spirit begins to weave itself right down amongst message people and message churches. I can't stand for those spirits or for those doctrines, but I'm not against those people. There's precious Catholic people out there. There's precious Baptist and Pentecostal and Nazarene and Pilgrim Holiness and Methodist or whatever that be. There's plenty of precious message people that are spiritually blinded, that are spiritually caught up in a bunch of falsehood, but they're precious people. I'm not against those people, but when you actually come with an agenda and a motive against people that you want to write them off as bride, it shows what you're made of. It shows what spirit is in you. They, by their deeds against any people, expose themselves for what they are. Let them organize and repudiate the little flock. They but further reveal to all that they are of the devil. They are the false vine, the vine that murders. Their hatred proves who they are. The Nicolaitan Antichrist Church is who they are. I'm glad he said that, Brother Aaron, so I didn't have to. I'm glad he said it. Their hatred proves who they are. The Nicolaitan Antichrist Church is who they are. Don't just put all that way off in the Catholic Church or way off in the future under the final seal of the mark of the beast somewhere. That same spirit of hatred creeps its way right in our message ranks to where people absolutely hate you if you don't see it the way that they do. Well, it's an Antichrist spirit out of the pits of hell, and the prophet of God just exposed it for us. Again, the church age book, he says everywhere those early believers went, they went preaching the gospel word, and God confirmed that word with signs following. The sick were healed, devils were cast out, and they spoke in new tongues. That was the word in action. Oh, it's so sad that so many aren't interested in the word in action anymore. They're interested in a historical word, but they don't want to see the word in action. But I'm so thankful for a people that's still in the land, not under the group of a church name or the group of a doctrine name, but under the bride of Jesus Christ is the only label she's interested in wearing, and they're still interested in the word being put into action. The word in action that'll go and help the needy. The word in action that'll go and heal the sick and raise the dead. The word in action that'll go and compel the lost to come in from the highways and the byways. The word in action that'll stoop to those that have fallen into sin or into mistakes or into all kinds of troubles, that'll stoop down and try to help them and encourage them and lift them back. That's the word in action. Oh, how we need it. As Brother Branham said, oh, how we need in Jeffersonville thousands of lived voices. I'm not just interested in a historical voice, but we need lived voices. We need to see the word in action. We need to see the word that was on the tapes and in the Bible to come into action in our lives and be a lived voice to this area and to any area that you're in this morning. He said the word has never failed in the mouths of believing Christians. Oh, I'm so thankful for that this morning. I'm depending on that this morning. The word has never failed in the mouths of believing Christians. And in this last age, it is here stronger and greater than ever in the true word bride. I'm so thankful for this, that even in the face of every situation that the church is facing, every situation that our own little humble church here is facing, every sickness, every person that's in the hospital, every person that's financially distressed or mentally distressed or spiritually going through things or facing addictions or trials, I'm so thankful that the word has never failed in the mouths of believing Christians, that we can send that word after them this morning and proclaim healing and deliverance and victory and freedom. Oh my, I'm so thankful that the word has never failed in the mouth of believing Christians, and that it's stronger and greater ever in the true word bride. Now you can get mad and you can disagree and you can stomp and walk away, but I'm just reading you what he said this morning, that it's greater than ever in the true word bride. What is it? The word in action again today. Oh, I pray that God will help us put it in action. He says, oh, little flock, you little minority, hold on to the word. Fill your mouth and heart with it, and someday God will give you the kingdom. Oh my, not just enough to fill our mouth with it. There's a lot of people that fill their mouth with it. They can spew off quotes and scriptures like a machine gun, but it's not just enough to fill your mouth with it. Make sure you fill your heart with it too. Fill your mouth and your heart with it. Let those words come out of your mouth, but not from your mouth only, but from deep down in your heart where that word is settled down. Let that word come out and speak the word in action again this morning. Church Age Book again, stay with the word. Keep that word between you and the devil. Oh my, I pray this morning God would help us to put it into action. I pray that he would help us to keep that word between us and every attack of the enemy. If he comes and tries to attack your family, keep the word between you and him. If he comes and tries to attack your job, keep the word between you and him. If he comes and tries to rob your health, keep the word between you and him. I'm the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. By his stripes I was healed. They shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. Any sick amongst you, let the elders anoint him with oil and pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Keep the word between you and the devil. When he says you're defeated, tell him you're victorious. When he tells you you're a failure, tell him you're an overcomer. Keep the word between you and the devil. Again, he says in Condemnation by Representation, 1960. Stay with the word. What the word says, stay with it. Don't you interbred that with nothing. I don't care what bishop, what archbishop, what man says anything about it. Stay right with the word. Amen. Is that your desire this morning? Stay with the word, regardless of whatever we face, regardless of what anybody says. Stand and take the road less traveled. It's the one that'll get us to eternal life. Again, Church Age Book. Let me read you a couple more quotes here and we'll try to close this morning. Oh my, didn't feel like it'd been that long a time already, Brother Aaron. I'm going to have to hurry to get him out by the time I promised him I would. He says, oh little flock, do not fear. This age is fast closing. As it does, those tares will be bound together, and as a threefold cord is not easily broken, they will have a tremendous threefold strength of political, physical, and spiritual, satanical power, and they will seek to destroy the bride of Christ. She will suffer, but she will endure. Hallelujah. Didn't promise we wouldn't suffer. She will suffer, but she will endure. Fear not those things that are coming upon the earth, for he who loved his own loveth them until the end. John 13:1. Aren't you thankful that he that began a good work in you can take you through to the end? That he that started a good work in you didn't give up on you and discard it and lay it to the side, but he that started a good work in you can take you the rest of the way. He that brought you this far can take you on the rest of the way. Let me read you this one quote again. I know we've quoted it before, but I want to read it to you verbatim this morning because I feel like the enemy is just trying to turn all hell loose against the bride of Jesus Christ. Not only our church, we see it everywhere. We see many churches facing physical struggles, financial struggles, persecutions of different kinds, but yet God is victorious in every case. And in the Junction of Time, 1956, he says, when all hell turns loose, all heaven turns loose also. I'm so thankful to know that this morning. When all hell turns loose, all heaven turns loose also. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises up a standard against it. I recognize this morning the enemy's going around like a raging lion. I realize that the winds of popularity and politics and things and people standing for things that many times they don't even know what they're standing for. They hear a phrase or a saying or a group name or whatever it be, and that sounds so nice and it sounds so good, but you better, whether that's in the message ranks or the religious ranks or out here in political ranks or society ranks or whatever it is, you better go back and do a little research and find out what people really stand for before you go and promote whatever it is, because it might be something that's completely contrary to what you believe for and stand for. But I pray this morning that God will raise up a group of people that's not interested in just standing for what's popular, but she's interested in standing for the truth. In the face of anything that Satan would throw against her, that she's interested in standing for the word of God. Amen. Is that your desire this morning? Whatever Satan throws at us, whatever anybody would try to come or say or do or whatever they're trying to promote, if it's contrary to the word, we're not against that person, but we're against what they're standing for, because we're on a road that's narrow and it's straight, but it's headed for glory and eternal life. Amen. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to a close of this service, I pray that you'd be with each one, each family, Lord. I know many of the things I said this morning, Lord, may be harsh and cutting, but Lord, I felt like it was a time that they needed to be said, Lord. We need to stand for the truth. Stand for what's right. Stand for your word, regardless of who it cuts or who it offends or who would come against it or what it would cause. Father, we want to stand for truth this morning. Lord, as a body of believers, we agree together, Lord, that your word is right. Whether we've been right or not in the past, Lord, your word has been right, and we stand for your word. If there's any area of our life, Lord, that isn't pleasing to you or that is contrary to your word, we pray, Lord, that you'd move on the scene and give us the strength to cast that aside and to stand with your word and for your word and to live your word, to become a lived voice in this age and to become the word in action again. Father, I pray that you'd be with each one, be with those that are sick, the ones that are recovering, the ones that are right now in the midst of the worst of it, Father, whatever it would be, these that are in the hospital rooms, I pray that you'd go to them. Lord, especially our precious brother Yarborough, Lord, I pray that you would go to him just now. May your Holy Spirit enter into that hospital room and rise him back up from that bed, Father. Give him a complete deliverance and victory. We'll give you the glory and the praise for it. We're claiming the blood of Jesus Christ for our brother and standing united as a body of believers in agreement that by your stripes he's already healed. And that it's a finished work at Calvary. Lord, may a testimony come forth from it. We'll give you the glory and the praise. Lord, we want to see our brother walk through these doors again and have fellowship with us. And Lord, how we love to see him back there smiling and raising his hand, worshiping you, Father, and enjoying the services. Lord, I just pray that you'd give him more opportunities to be amongst your people and to be an encouragement to those he comes in contact with. Lord, how he's been such an encourager over the years. And I just pray that you restore him and lift him back up. Not only him, but all those that are sick and needy, whatever the need would be, I pray that your Holy Spirit would go and minister to those needs in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. You love the Lord this morning? Oh my, how we love you, Jesus. Brother Aaron says we're having some more technical difficulties, but Boo Devil anyhow. If you missed it, part of the service, we'll try to get it uploaded here later today or tomorrow so you can go back and listen to it. I apologize for all the technical difficulties. We recognize that the devil is mad, but amen. That's a good thing. We want to make him mad. Oh, Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, our Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, he's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, our Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, our Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, our Messiah, he's the King of Kings. Our Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, our Messiah, he's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Oh, he's the King. The Lord of Lords. Oh. Lord of hosts. So spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. You weren't born for this valley, but you were born for the sky. So don't let your trials get you you richly. Remember, no service this coming Wednesday, but we will have online services next Sunday morning and Sunday evening. So keep that in mind. Keep us in prayer. Amen. We'll keep you in prayer as well. No service this evening. Just pray that God will bless you in your homes and your families, whatever you're doing, whatever you feel led to do this week. I pray that God would be with you in a mighty way, protect you and heal you. Wonderful to us. Let's sing this before we close this morning. Oh, I once was lost in sin, but my Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven bathed my soul. Day and night. Oh, I can go to him in prayer, for he knows my every care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Oh, let us have a little talk with Jesus. Gonna tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. Sit right.